attorney, advocate, author, public speaker, The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600. Flip that switch and turn on your brain. Here is Lisa Wexler.
And we've got a great hour planned for you in just a few minutes. We're going to hear from columnist Dan Harv, the Connecticut Post, about the details in Connecticut's cannabis bill that seems to be making its way towards some kind of a conclusion. Governor Lamont indicating that if it comes on his desk, he is likely to sign it. And then at 11:30, we're going to chat with First Select Woman Jamie Stevenson of Darien about her attempt to save some trees from the Eversource cutting that is going on, particularly along the Metro North line, but all around Connecticut. We're going to be seeing massive, mature, beautiful trees cut, some of which I guess needed to be cut. Maybe some literally are in the way, and others perhaps less so. And we'll learn about the rules and the laws and the regulations with respect to that as well. I'm Lisa Wexler. Welcome back to the show. Our conversation of the day centering around a question for you with respect to a disclosure, an admission that there's a problem with alcohol drinking going on in our legislature. Now, let's talk about the big picture here, the big idea. We've got a situation where the legislature has been doing an awful lot of things. If the word in secret is too much of an exaggeration, how about not in public? How about the fact that we have Zoom hearings instead of in-person hearings? How about the fact that for the first time in anyone's memory, people have not been able to testify in front of committees because they've been cut off by these ideas that the committee could only meet for 24 hours at a go, which would lead anybody to get punched drunk, even if they weren't drunk with alcohol. By 3 or 4 a.m., how could you possibly be expected to absorb testimony and think logically about the bills, the very important public policy things that you've been asked to vote on? As far as I'm concerned, this is an astonishing session in which so many important legislation has been passed or will be passed that is spoken about. Everything from changing our vaccination laws, our gambling laws, perhaps our laws with respect to marijuana, our zoning laws. I mean, it really tremendous, important pieces of public legislation, and they've been done not in the usual way. And now to hear that some people have been abusing alcohol in order to get through the anxiety caused by all of these sessions, it's hard to feel a lot of sympathy for them. On the other hand, as an individual, one individual to another, it's easy to feel sympathy. And so the question is, Robin Comey, among others, but she is the one to admit that she was drunk the other night under the influence of wine. She apologized. She said it wouldn't happen again. Will that affect your willingness to vote for her? We're going to go to Jamie from where, Andrew? Jay from Fairfield. Hi, Jay. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How do we know it was wine? Because she says so? That's number one. Number two, I think everybody should take random drug tests, not know the day that it's going to be happening or anything. People in politics are no different from people in a Target. You know, I don't know if they do random testing there or not. But I would not vote for her. She's out as far as I'm concerned. She needs help. No hate here. I'm not hating her. She needs help. But how do we know it was wine? Could have been two or three martinis. You know, yeah. Could have been anything. You know, it's a story that she's, you know, apologizing for. Is she making it, you know, light? Is she telling us
no.
The truth? Is it a half-truth?
Well,
you know,
I'll tell you what, it's only because she was so publicly impaired that we know that it was she. But apparently she's not the only one, Jay. And this is the interesting thing. We know that Matt Ritter and Jason Rojas and the leaders, they know who they've admonished. Now, they're not going to out them because they wouldn't do such a thing. But they know who they've admonished for being impaired on the job. And so Query whether or not we should be entitled to know who they've admonished.
I think that we should. That's a little bit of a gray area there. There's a little privacy thing there. But I think they're definitely out. And you don't get so loopy from wine, do you? I'm not that
you
much.
You can. You can. I mean, I'm not a drinker at all. If I have two sips of champagne, I'm on the ceiling. I can't imbibe alcohol at all. So you can.
Well, I mean, she said she stayed over at a hotel because she found it too chancy to drive. And
right.
She had two glasses of wine, she said. Did she say
she said
how many glasses
she had,
of wine?
I don't know that she did. She just said she had wine. She had wine. And listen, and she might have been very tired. The thing is that what the leaders have demanded of the legislators is unreasonable anyway. Why should they have 24-hour hearings? I've been saying for the entire session, how could you be expected to think clearly and listen to testimony and vote properly to do something for 24 hours at a time? It's unreasonable.
That's not rational at all. We have to police them. You know, I go through this with my friends and colleagues and people, too. I say to myself, who polices Pelosi? You know, you can go as high as over there. I mean, we're supposed to vote them in and out, and whether or not we like them in office is one thing. If you don't like them, you vote them out. But to do something so detrimental to yourself, to your job, that's out. You're out. That's it. There's no excuse for that. I mean,
thanks for the call. Yeah. Thanks for the call today. So we've got some people willing to give her a shot. We have Cecil from Bridgeport who said, you know what? I forgive her. I'm willing to give her a second chance. We've got Jay who's saying no way. On our Facebook, on our social media feed, pretty much of a voice, not inclined to vote for her again. This is something that she'll have to go to her own constituency with and see if they want to vote her in. She'll have to talk about it. She'll have to deal with it. 203-333-9422. But at least she admitted it. We have so many people that run away from accountability. We have so many people that make up stories. Jay is saying, how do we know it's wine? Well, we take her word for it, I guess. You know, she admitted to being intoxicated and impaired. The bottom line is it doesn't really matter what got her intoxicated or impaired. For me, it could be two sips of anything, and I'd be intoxicated and impaired. 203-333-9422. Another story I wanted to bring to your attention. We are living another big idea here right now. We are living in a time where the world of whether or not we choose to get vaccinated has different consequences depending quite literally on what state you live in. If you live in the state of Florida, you cannot be forced to get vaccinated. So if you choose not to get vaccinated, you cannot lose your job. That's what Ron DeSantis has said. And in fact, he's gone so far as to say that he will fine employers who insist that their employees get vaccinated as a condition of working there. But in Connecticut, Governor Lamont has taken a more hands-off approach. He has said that he believes that private enterprises should be able to require people to be vaccinated, or they should be free to not. But either way, he's not going to interfere. His point of view from a public health perspective is continuing to encourage as many people as possible to get vaccinated. And to that end, we've got free drinks, we've got free food, we've got free this, we've got free that. In Ohio, today somebody won a $1 million lottery for being vaccinated. Couldn't believe it. A dream come true. An Amazon truck driver. Well, let me tell you how it's really hitting home right here in Bridgeport. 15 out of 750 staffers at Jewish Senior Services, the Junior Senior Services that runs the nursing home, resigned last week after refusing to get vaccinated for the coronavirus. Andrew Banoff is the president of JSS. He says while that number represents about 2% of his staff, it was very difficult to see them go. But in an interview yesterday with the Connecticut Post, he said, I still think it's the right decision. I feel strongly it was the right thing to do, but it's hard. Now, this beautiful facility, state-of-the-art facility for elderly people, is located on Park Avenue. They provide long-term care, assisted living, and other aid to the elderly. And they were one of the first employers in Connecticut to mandate that employees get inoculated or lose their jobs. And the reason they did that was for the common sense reason that you're working with the most vulnerable, impaired, physically impaired, very often mentally impaired people in our entire population. You're working with the population that got hit hardest by COVID-19 as an epidemic. We don't really know how long these vaccines will last in terms of immunity, so that we don't want to take a chance that someone who might have weakening immunity might be have their system invaded by somebody who comes in with a live coronavirus and somebody who is sick. there are a lot of good reasons from a health point of view why you would want to have your staff vaccinated. And in fact, hospitals routinely insist that their nursing staff get vaccinated. But generally speaking, said Diane Mokrisky, who works for the Connecticut Business and Industry Association in Hartford, most employers are not requiring vaccinations, yet it's becoming a more and more common question. So in February, Banoff announced that COVID-19 vaccinations would become a condition of employment for direct and indirect caregivers effective May 1st. Then they pushed back the date a little bit because of the brief period that Johnson & Johnson wasn't available. And when asked what reasons were provided for refusing to be vaccinated, Banoff said, "I think it's a combination of all of the issues that have been talked about pretty widely, some crazy things put out there on social media, some concern about vaccinations in general. Some of it is concern about reactions," but he said 12 other workers who remain on staff were allowed to refuse shots based on, quote, medical accommodation. So they did an individual analysis, and they decided that for 12 people who couldn't get a vaccine, there was a medical reason for it. But for about 2% of others, the people were not given that, and so they decided to quit. And I guess what Banoff is doing is he is prioritizing the people that Jewish Senior Services serve, which are the most vulnerable population to COVID-19. But this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where these 15 people will have to go elsewhere. And remember, they're in the healthcare business. If they work for JSS, by definition, they're in the healthcare business, and yet they've still refused to get vaccinated. They would rather lose their job than get vaccinated. 203-333-9422. We'll be right back with Dan Haar of the Connecticut Post. We're going to dive into the details of the pending cannabis legalization bill. Stay tuned if you've got questions or comments. 203-333-9422. We'll be right back.